All glories to Sama Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Ganga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sambhagadaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kanamana Namasya Sarasarodhi Gauravana Vishwani Nidhishya Shushwani Nidhishya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 69. Narada visits Krishna's palaces. We're reading text 7 through 15. We have a lot of verses here. I'm just going to read the English up until 15, then we can do that responsively. So starting with text 7 and 8. In the city of Dwarka was a beautiful private quarter, worshipped by the planetary rulers. This district, where the demigod Vishvakarma had shown all his divine skill, was the residential area of Lord Hari, and thus it was gorgeously decorated by the 16,000 palaces of Lord Krishna's queens. Narada Muni entered one of these immense palaces. Report. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that Tvashta, Vishvakarma, manifested the expertise of the Supreme Lord, and thus he was able to build such exquisite palaces. Srila Prabhupada writes, the great kings and princes of the world used to visit these palaces just to worship Lord Krishna. The architectural plans were made personally by Vishvakarma, the engineer of the demigods, and in construction of the palaces, he exhibited all of his talents and ingenuity. Text 9 through 12. Translation. Supporting the palaces were coral pillars decoratively inlaid with Vaidurya gems. Sapphires bedecked the walls, and the floors glowed with perpetual brilliance. In that palace, Tvashta had arranged canopies with hanging strands of pearls, and there was also seats and beds fashioned of ivory and precious jewels. In attendance were many well-dressed maidservants bearing lockets on their necks, and also armor-clad guards with turbans, fine uniforms, and jeweled earrings. The glow of numerous jewel-studded lamps dispelled all darkness in the palace. My dear king, on the ornate ridges of the roof danced loudly crying peacocks who saw the fragrant aguru incense escaping from the holes of the latticed windows and mistook it for a cloud. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, there was so much incense and fragrant gum burning that the scented fumes were coming out of the windows. The peacocks became illusioned by the fumes, mistaking them for clouds, and began dancing jubilantly. There were many maidservants, all of whom were decorated with gold necklaces, bangles, and beautiful saris. There was also many male servants who were nicely decorated in cloaks and turbans and jeweled earrings. Beautiful as they were, the servants were all engaged in different household duties. 13. In that palace, the learned Brahmin saw the Lord of the Satpata, Sri Krishna, together with his wife, who fanned him with a gold-handled yak-tail fan. She personally served him in this way, even though she was constantly attended by 1,000 maidservants equal to her in personal character, beauty, youth, and fine dress. 14. The Supreme Lord is the greatest upholder of religious principles. Thus, when he noticed Narada, he rose at once from the goddess Sri's bed, bowed his crowned head at Narada's feet, and joining his palms, had the sage sit in his own seat. Text 15, we'll do the Sanskrit responsively. Tashyava nijya charano tarapasva murdhna. Vibraj jagat guru tamo pi satam patirhi. Brahmanya deva iti yad guna nama yuktam. Tashyaiva yach charna shaucham ashesha tirtham. Tasya vanija charanau tadapaksva murdhna. Vibraj jagat guru tamo pi satam patirhi. Brahmanya deva iti yad guna nama yuktam. Tashyaiva yachcharna shaucham ashesha tirtham. Tashyava nidya charanautara paksva murtna. Vibraj jagad guru tamo pi satam patirhi. Brahmanya deva iti yad guna nama yuktam. Tashyaiva yachcharna shaucham ashesha tirtham. Ladies. Tasha is Avanija, washing, Charanao, the feet, Tat, that, Apa, water, Sva, his own, Murdha, on the head, Vibrat, caring, Jagat, of the entire universe, Gurutama, The supreme spiritual master. Api, even though. Satam, of the saintly devotees. Pati, the master. He, indeed. Brahmanya, who favors the brahmanas. Deva, the Lord. Iti, thus called. Yat, since. Guna, based on his quality. Nama, the name. Yuktam, fitting. Tasya, his. Eva, indeed. Yat, whose. Charana, of the feet. Shaucham, the bathing. Vishesha, complete. Tirtham, holy shrine. Translation purport by disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Lord bathed Narada's feet and then put the water on His own head. Although Lord Krishna is the supreme spiritual authority of the universe and the master of His devotees, it was proper for Him to behave in this way, for His name is Brahmanyadeva, the Lord who favors the Brahmins. Thus Sri Krishna honored the sage Narada by bathing his feet, even though the water that bathes the Lord's own feet becomes the Ganges, the ultimate holy shrine. Report. Since Lord Krishna's own lotus feet are the source of the most holy Ganges, the Lord did not have to purify himself by bathing Narada Muni's feet. Rather, as Srila Prabhupada explains, Lord Krishna and Dwarka enjoyed the pastimes of a perfect human being. When therefore he washed the feet of the sage Narada and took the water on his head, Narada did not object, knowing well that the Lord did so to teach everyone how to respect saintly persons. Om Gyanakam Nandasha Gyananjana Salakaya Shakshirlikandina Kasma Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatyugascha Kripasi Vrindavivacha Patikano Pavana Vyo Vaishnavi Gurave Namaha. So Lord Krishna says to Arjuna in the Adi Purana, "My dear Partha, one who claims to be my devotee is not so. Only a person who claims to be the devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee." And in the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, "There are different methods of worship, and out of all such methods, the worship of the Supreme Person is considered to be the highest. But even higher than the worship of the Lord is the worship of the Lord's devotees." Those are both found in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 12. So in this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this pastime of Krishna and Dwarka, Lord Krishna is displaying this principle by his personal example. When Narada Muni, the great saint, the great sage, comes to visit his palace, of course Narada Muni is totally in this mood of respect and servitorship in the Dasharasa with Lord Krishna. Well, Lord Krishna immediately comes down from his own, sitting on a bed where he's being fanned and being worshipped by his queens and maidservants and servants, thousands of servants that are being described here. He immediately comes down from that position to honor and respect Narada Muni. In fact, not only washing his feet personally, but then taking the water that had washed Narada Muni's feet and placing it on his own head. So obviously this is very significant because, as being mentioned here, Lord Krishna is the very source of the Ganges River, the most purifying holy waters. So obviously he has no need for purification from the devotees or from anyone else, because he is the source of all purification. He is purity personified. But nevertheless, to show example, he washes the feet of Narada Muni and puts that water on his head, so that he can display and show to the world the importance of service to the devotees and respect for saintly personalities. So in this verse, Lord Krishna is called Brahmanyadeva, one who favors the Brahmins. And obviously the best Brahmin is the Vaishnava Brahmin, the one who is in worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna is so appreciative, is so grateful for those loyal, pure devotees who worship him and who carry on his work and his service, that he in turn offers all respect to them and also even worships them. And this is a wonderful example of the reciprocal relationship of bhakti yoga, devotional service. The devotees are worshiping and honoring Krishna, but Krishna in turn also extends that same respect and that same worship even sometimes to his devotees. Now, of course, that would depend upon the particular rasa relationship with the devotee. Of course, Narada Muni is in this dasya rasa of servitorship, and so this is appropriate for him. And of course, Narada Muni certainly would not expect Lord Krishna to take the water from his feet on his head, but he allowed it, as it is said here, because he also wanted to exhibit this principle and show this concept that the saintly personalities, the Vaishnavas, the devotees, are worshipable. And even the Supreme Lord himself does this. So we see from the examples of Shastra, the examples of Krishna himself, and the examples of the sadhus, how much they value the association of devotees. Here's the quote. "My dear son, association is very important. It acts just like a crystal stone, which will reflect anything which is put before it." So who is the author of that quote? It is Hiranyakashipu. Sri Hiranyakashipu Vacha. This is actually found in the Hari Bhakta Siddhanta Sahodaya, but it's also in the Nectar Devotion. Prabhupada quotes this, or Rupa Goswami quotes this, and Prabhupada does in chapter 12. So Hiranyakasipu had a few good qualities. Once in a while, he actually had a few intelligent things to say, because after all, he is a devotee behind his playing the role of three demons. So he pointed out this example of the crystal, which reflects everything put before it. And then Prabhupada, immediately after that in chapter 12, says, "Similarly, if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, and if our hearts are crystal clear, then certainly the same action will be there." So this is one of the reasons why this association of devotees is so important, because their purity is reflected, just like the crystal stone reflects light through it. So we gain the benefit. We gain the benefit of that reflection of the purity of the great devotees and the sadhus. So this is a very important principle for us to understand, and just to realize that just having the association of devotees is so important and purifying in our spiritual life. So I want to talk about association and talk about sadhu sangha. But first, just as an aside, we should mention the other side, because there's also the effect of bad association as well as the effect of good association. And so we see that through bad association, we can also become affected in the same way that we can become affected by the good association of saintly personalities and devotees. And of course, we know the story of Ajamil through the bad association of the she's a prostitute, by that, that he fell down from his brahminical position. We see Kamsa is a prominent example. Kamsa, again, would once in a while have some, good qualities, and he would show some intelligence, and he would actually seem to understand some, at least rudimentary philosophy. But then, and he would have a change of heart, and he would feel sorry that he had treated Devaki so badly, his sister, and think, okay, maybe I should just, let them go, or after all, it's only the first son, it's not the one that's supposed to kill me. And what would immediately happen? He would talk to his advisors through their demoniac association. Again, his heart would change. Krishnarada Muni sometimes also pushed him along just for the benefit of the Leela unfolding. But we see that it was very, very much so. Whenever he would get with his, his demon friends, what would come out? His demoniac qualities. He had some better qualities, but these demoniac qualities would come out in that association. So we also have to be careful, not necessarily a demoniac association, but a bad association, or becoming influenced by those who would lead us away from Krishna consciousness, who would not inspire us in Krishna consciousness, or who and, you know, simply encourage us in activities which are negative to the pursuit of our spiritual life. And in fact, the Nectar of Instruction, verse 2, says, devotional service is spoiled by a few things, but one is associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. So in other words, it's such a strong effect that there is actually an injunction in the Nectar of Instruction against associating with non-devotees or worldly-minded people, because it has that much effect upon our consciousness. But we also have, fortunately, many examples of the wonderful benefit of associating with advanced devotees. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.18.13, the sages headed by Shanaka Rishi said, the value of a moment's association with the devotees of the Lord cannot be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. What to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are meant for death. It's a very strong statement about the importance of even a moment's association with a great devotee. So some of the examples we have, of course, we've been talking about Narada Muni. Narada Muni is a wonderful example, both of taking association and giving association. So in Narada Muni's life, we see both principles. He was the son of a maidservant, right? He was about 5 years old. And because it was the Chaturmasya, the rainy season, when the, the sannyasis and the sages would stay in one place, they stayed at the place where his mother was serving. And as she served, these great devotees were called the Bhakti Vedantas, as called in the Bhagavatam. And Narada Muni also got an opportunity to serve them. And he got an opportunity to take the remnants of their food, of their prasadam. So by this moment's association that Narada Muni had with these great sages and doing a little service to them and taking the remnants of their prasadam, we know the rest. He becomes Narada Muni. Well, there was a few steps in between. His mother dies. He goes to the forest. He meditates. And of course, he sees the Lord. And of course, the Lord, you know, says that he'll have to wait till his next lifetime. Then his next lifetime, he becomes who we know as Narada Muni. One of the greatest sages, also second in our line in the Brahma Sampradaya, right? Brahma instructs Narada. And is that right? Yeah. Brahma then Narada. So wonderful devotee. Now, Narada Muni, in turn, gives his association in such wonderful ways. And there's so many stories. How many pastimes are there in the Bhagavatam involved Narada Muni? He's always showing up, you know, and he's always involved in preaching and instructing and just giving wonderful association. But probably the one that shows the greatest degree of the effect of association is, of course, Magrari the Hunter. Now, here was a person engaged in completely demonic activities, negative activities. Not only is he killing animals, you know, but he's half killing them and sort of like enjoying watching them suffer. I mean, this is pretty bad. This is really very, very bad quality. But Narada Muni instructed him. Narada Muni explained to him how bad what he was doing, what the reaction was going to be for his activities. And Magrari eventually surrenders them to him and becomes a great exalted devotee by the association of Narada Muni. So we have these examples. We also have the example, which is not so distant, which is not thousands of years ago or millennia ago. We have our own examples. We have our personal examples of Srila Prabhupada, how Srila Prabhupada changed the hearts and the lives of so many of us. I know for myself, my first association with Srila Prabhupada was through his words, through his books, through reading the Bhagavad Gita. And I remember when I read Prabhupada's purports in the Bhagavad Gita, I just felt like, yes, this is the absolute truth. My heart completely changed, and I felt like I finally understood this. And I had read other versions of the Bhagavad Gita. They didn't mean anything to me. I didn't even understand them. I thought it's kind of cool, some Indian philosophy. I had no clue what it was talking about. When I read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, it all became clear. And then I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity in 1972 in New Vrindavan of seeing Srila Prabhupada personally. I've told this long story many times. I won't bore you again with it. But the fact of the matter is that you know, when we entered the temple room, somehow or another, we didn't even know Srila Prabhupada was there. We came in, Prabhupada was giving Bhagavad Gita class in the evening. I was there with Mantrini. And afterwards, we just kind of looked at each other and said, okay, that's our spiritual master. You know, our search is finished. This is it. And, of course, we became devotees. And fortunately, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, I'm still somewhat of a devotee. But this is the power of the association of a pure devotee of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada had that effect, both through his words, through his books, and through his personal presence, through his body and through his bhakti. He had that effect on people, you know, who just instantly, because we saw his purity, because we saw his knowledge, we saw that he was not only giving the absolute truth, but he was living the absolute truth. His personal example was such that we knew that this was somebody who would never cheat us, whose only desire was for us to become free from the material entanglement of this world, to become devotees of Krishna, get out of this world and go back to Godhead. That's all he wanted from us. So, not only do we want to just associate with devotees, but when we understand a little bit, we want to serve those devotees. So immediately, you know, once we understood Srila Prabhupada, we wanted to serve him. We wanted to give up our lives for him. You know, and that's what happened. We all did. Everybody is giving, you know, everyone is here is giving up your lives for Krishna, for your guru, for Srila Prabhupada. You know, because that's what it means. The next step is service. I'm going to read from a purport Srimad Bhagavatam, 6.11.25. Srila Prabhupada says, one must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, Dasunadas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised and showed by his own example that a living entity should always desire to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, maintainer of the gopis. Gopi Bhartu Parakamalayor Dasunadasunadas. This means one must accept the spiritual master who comes into the civic succession and is a servant of the Lord. Under his direction, one must then engage the three properties, namely his body, mind, and words. The body should be engaged in physical activity under the order of the master. The mind should think of Krishna incessantly, and one's words should be engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord. If one is thus engaged in the loving service of the Lord, one's life is successful. Now, I think one thing that's significant here is that Prabhupada talks about serving with the body, mind, and words. The service to the guru is an active principle. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said in the Nectar of Instruction, the execution of devotional service is not a matter of idle meditation, but practical action in the foreground of spiritual life. So practical activity must be there. This principle is explained. Jiva Goswami, in his commentaries on 1.1.11 of the Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, talks about two types of bhakti, bhava-rupa and chasta-rupa bhakti. Bhava-rupa is the emotional form, the inward form of the execution of bhakti, but that's found in the stage of bhava. So those of you on the stage of bhava can meditate on that. The rest of us will go to the next one, which is the active form, chasta-rupa bhakti, where one uses the body, the words, and the mind in Krishna's service. So devotional service begins with that practical engagement of the senses. As Prabhupada said, not a matter of idle meditation, but practical action in the foreground of spiritual life. So we all need practical service. We need full engagement. If we don't feel we're very engaged, we need to find an engagement. We need to, you know, there's so much service to do. There's so much that is needed. So much is needed in the temple, in the country, in the world, in the ISKCON movement, everywhere. Devotional service is needed. Everything from, very, very practical things, and Mother Mukhyas Amzaba says, please come out and help, you know, with gardens, to whatever we might be doing, or we might be involved in some other international project. You know, there's so many ways that we can engage ourselves in devotional service, and that's what is required. Now, the other aspect here that we might think about, this idea of service to the devotees, is which devotees do we serve and which devotees do we honor? It seems like it would be very clear by reading the scriptures in the Bhagavatam, you know, that we serve the pure devotees, the advanced devotees of the Lord. But sometimes today it's not always so clear. You know, who's an advanced devotee, who's not an advanced devotee, who should we serve, who should we honor? Well, of course, the first principle is we should serve those senior devotees. And Mother Lakshmimoni gave a very, very nice class about that a few days ago, talking about, I don't want to embarrass her, she's here, but I thought it was an exceptionally nice class because, you know, she pointed out, first of all, the need to serve the deity and serve the deity in the mood of awe and reverence, to be in that mood of humility, and to serve the devotees in that mood of humility. And particularly be very respectful of senior devotees and those devotees that we should honor and offer all respect to and appreciate. But of course, the next point is we should also appreciate and respect all devotees. Whatever category or situation devotee is in, they should be respected. Srila Prabhupada gave a wonderful example of that in a lecture on the disappearance day of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada said, anyway, it is by his grace I was forced to give up family life, and he brought me some way or other in preaching his gospel. What he desired, I am trying a little bit, and you are all helping me, so I have to thank you more. You are actually representatives of my Guru Maharaj, because you are helping me in executing the order of my Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much. To me, this is amazing because as undeserving as we were and are, somehow or another, Srila Prabhupada's vision was to thank his disciples for helping him in this mission and seeing his disciples as being sent by his Guru Maharaj representing him, seeing the order of his Guru everywhere, even in us, you know, even in his fallen Western disciples. So this is the wonderful mood of the devotee that has this mood of respect and honor and appreciation. This is the Uttama Adhikari vision of seeing Krishna working everywhere and seeing everyone is serving Krishna. Now, we probably are not at that level of the Uttama Adhikari, but Prabhupada said we should at least try to come to the Majjhima position, the Majjhima Adhikari. And the Majjhima Adhikari makes distinctions between four personalities. He offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord. He shows mercy to the ignorant people who are innocent and to those who are not so innocent, those who are envious. He simply disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This can be found many places in the scriptures. I got this from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.246. So we have these different categories of how we relate to different personalities. And I think the one that's most interesting to our discussion today is being a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord. So that's further broken down into three categories. And that's given in verse 5 of the Nectar of Instruction. It says, one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshiping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who has advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So our scriptures are so complete, and the instructions of Lord Chaitanya and his followers, Rupa Goswami, are so complete that we have guidelines. We have this general framework on how we approach devotees and how we respect different types of devotees and how we serve and appreciate devotees. Now, of course, we should note that of the three classes of devotees that are mentioned here, there's always the mood of respect. Obviously, for the pure devotee, the spiritual master, one gives all honor and serves them faithfully. For those who are more or less, we could say, on our same level, you know, the average devotees that we all associate with day in, day out, we offer obeisances to them. We appreciate them and respect them. And we learn from one another. And we have relationships of friendship. We make friendships with the devotees. That's very important. Because if we don't make friendships with devotees, who will we make friendships with? Non-devotees. That's kind of the alternative. Because the nature, we're social beings, and the nature of human beings in this world is to have relationships, and they're inevitable. Everywhere we go, everything we do, if we're at work, whatever we do, like when you're at a job, if you're working a job, how do you avoid having relationships with your coworkers? You can't really. I mean, you could just sit there and like never speak to anybody and be one, you know, be thought of as being somewhat of a personality disordered individual or something. But, you know, it doesn't really work very well, and, you know, because we have to associate. And, of course, I mentioned this before, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave such a wonderful way of explaining how one works within the world. He says, we can associate with the non-devotees, but we don't give our heart to them. We reserve that for the devotees. So our love, our friendship, our deep exchanges, we reserve for the devotees. Non-devotees, we can be friendly, we can be cordial, you know, we can associate, and hopefully we can try to give them something of Krishna consciousness. If nothing else, you know, bring in prasadam for them or whatever. You know, so however we can, because this is the mood of the devotee. You try to help others. You try to, and that is our service to Srila Prabhupada. You try to make others Krishna conscious. Sometimes it's not so possible, sometimes we can't. Depending upon our circumstance, that just requires a little intelligence and, you know, as far as what's appropriate and not appropriate in a particular circumstance that you're in, you know. And whatever situation we find ourselves in, we need to also find that opportunity to get association with devotees, to get good association with devotees that are going to help us to advance in Krishna consciousness. Okay. I'll stop at that point. Questions, comments, discussion? Jivanathu.
Just wanted to tell a little story that I heard Sunday at the Prabhupada memory tape instead of Bhagavatam class. This is by Shuddha Kirti. He said that they're on an airplane. They were heading to South America. And Srila Prabhupada got a little hungry, so they had brought some puffed rice in a container for him. And instead of eating the airline food, he had this puffed rice. So he sat down, he had his puffed rice, he ate there for about 10 minutes, and then he passed it over to Shuddha Kirti. There was some left. So Shuddha Kirti divided it between the other devotee that was with him, Paramahamsa Swami, and himself. So he had this little bowl of puffed rice sitting in front of him. The stewardess came along, saw this, and just reached in, grabbed a big handful, and popped it in her mouth. It didn't say anything, just started eating the puffed rice. She goes, that's really good. What is this? And he goes, oh, it's puffed rice. And she goes, wow, this stuff's really amazing. This is really amazing. I love it. And she's munching away on it, and she goes, this is amazing. You guys bring your own food. And Shudagir says, yeah, we're vegetarians, and we have a certain diet, so we don't eat the airline food. And she goes, oh, well, is there anything I can get you? Is there anything I can do for you? And Shuddha Kirti looked over at Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, hot milk. So the steward says, oh, sure, I can get you some hot milk. Not a problem. I'll be right back. So she came back, gave the milk to Srila Prabhupada, and walked away. And Shuddha Kirti was sitting there thinking, wow, that was amazing. So he actually turned to Srila Prabhupada and says, that was amazing, wasn't it, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada says, no, not so amazing. Women are very like that. They like to serve, so that's not so amazing. And Shuddha Kirti was thinking, I didn't mean that. What I meant was she just grabbed the puff rice, didn't even say anything, just started eating the puff rice. Prabhupada's remnants, amazing. So anyway, he thought, this is such a cool story. So now in his travels, when he goes to speak at temples, he loves to tell the story. So it just so happened he's in Brazil. Does a class about Srila Prabhupada memories and tells this story. And after the class, this young brahmachari comes up to him and he goes, I really loved your story. That's amazing. Can I tell you a Sankirtan story? And Srila Kirti goes, yeah, sure, go ahead. He says, okay. Well, we were traveling in Brazil, going to remote villages, like really far away. So far away, we were actually in a four-wheel drive. And we were driving to these villages. We'd get out, we'd do Hari Nam, and then we'd go to the little houses and try to distribute books. So we did the Hari Nam. We're walking house to house. I knock on this one door, and the woman answers, and she says, Oh, hi. Would you like to come in? And he says, Sure, I'll come in. He goes inside, and he sees pictures of Krishna all on the walls. And he looks, and there's deities there. And he's like, whoa, amazing. You're a devotee. And she goes, yes, I'm a devotee. And he goes, wow, that's incredible. How did you ever find out about Krishna out here? This is the first time we've been here. This is amazing. And she says, well, I'll tell you a story. A long time ago, I used to be an airline stewardess. And I met Srila Prabhupada on a plane. And I came back after that flight, and I got approached in the airport, and I got a Bhagavad Gita, and now I'm a devotee.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. That's a wonderful story. I mean, that's as good as Narada Muni taking the remnants. You know. Okay, we've only got a minute or two. That just reminded me, I'm just going to mention, I'm going to be gone for a week in case anybody cares. You reminded me, you said Shruti Kirti, because I'm going to Hawaii for the first time in my life. It's not on for vacation. And Shruti Kirti's there in Hawaii. I'll be seeing him. Okay. Last comment? Any ladies? Okay, Divyanga.
I just want to say at the book table at the fireworks the other night, devotees were distributing books, of course, and my wife was talking to this lady. I have a picture of her, giving her the Gita. And the next morning, the lady showed up here at the temple. She shows up with a yoga mat. She came to practice bhakti yoga, you know, just because she met the devotee at the book table and got a book. And she was here yesterday, and my wife was giving her maha prasadam. So this is what happens when devotees go out and contact other jivas. Just like that lady, after she got the prasadam, all she did was eat prasadam. And then she gets off the plane and somebody gets her a book in the airport.
And these things are not by chance. You know, it's just so wonderful seeing Lord Chaitanya's hand at work and seeing Krishna, you know, making these arrangements. Of course, the living entity has to take them, you know. But Krishna's giving the opportunities. And the devotees are assisting Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and Srila Prabhupada in giving these opportunities for the living entities all the time. So if we're able to go out and do that, very, very pleasing to the Lord and to Srila Prabhupada. And then hopefully a certain amount of these living entities are going to take the opportunity of devotional service when it's presented to them. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Bol.